Why do I sound like I'm crying? I'm not. I'm literally not crying. I just got a new microphone. I'm excited. Perks of having a musician / microphone fanatic mother. It's looking at me. It's a very phallic shape. And if I breathe too hard, it will make a funny noise. But anyway, I hope you're enjoying the new ASMR quality. I wish I could do ASMR with you right now, but there's only one microphone, so I can't really do the ear-to-ear thing. Anyway, we're going to be talking about TERFs. Not so cheery, not so happy. As per usual, my podcast is not known to make people smile and laugh. It's actually known to make them piss and shit in their pants. But we're talking about TERFs, trans exclusionary radical feminist, as far as I know. That's the acronym. And quite a lot of people take issue with that term. I think it sounds kind of derogatory. It sounds kind of gross. But whether or not that's deserved, you'll decide. It would be great if I started doing like voiceover stuff. But I'm actually not going to start doing that. So let's go ahead with the episode, fellas. So, of course, you now know the definition. You've now been educated on what TERF stands for, and that is trans exclusionary radical feminist. And obviously the term radical feminist in itself gets a pretty bad rap, I'd like to say, pretty bad record for being fourth wave misandry or whatever some incel came up with. And this is an interesting episode for me to have to do because obviously I've been called a heretic already for my anti-governmental cool swag, anti-lockdown business, which I'm sure you all saw that shit show on my story. It was brilliant. And now here I am talking about trans exclusion, but by no means do I want this to be an incitement of hatred. Do I want this to be an incitement of infringing on someone else's identity? I just think it's very important to maintain a society that does not deal with censorship. I don't at all think that's the way forward. I think if you want to undermine me, if you want to discount everything I'm saying, that is completely fine. It's up to you to make your mind by the end of this episode. And, you know, forevermore, I'm only doing this episode because I think it's an interesting subject to think about. I think it's interesting that we talk about things, you know, no matter who it infringes on, no matter who it upsets, if it is in the favour of progressing further in terms of equality, in terms of misogyny, not progressing misogyny, obviously, you know. It's like when Kodak Black tweeted, I support breast cancer. That is not what I want to do. But I do want to talk about it by any means. So that was just, I suppose, a little disclaimer. Simply the purpose of this podcast for me was to talk about things that I found interesting, to talk about things that you know, interested me, things that I wanted to sort out. I sat with this feeling for quite a long time and I thought, you know, does this make me a transphobe? Does this make me a TERF? And maybe that's something I need to own. Maybe that's something that I'm not. Maybe, you know, you decide, I guess, is what I'm saying. But thank you for being here to talk about it, I guess. So I think initially it's important to talk about the things that I want to celebrate in terms of the trans community and the things that I absolutely value and I think you should value above all in terms of the work they've done for the LGBT community and furthering, as I say, kind of progressive or liberal, you know, in the least Margaret Thatcher way possible. So in favour of the trans community, things that I think TERFs tend to really discredit and undermine and don't look at all is the idea that I think being a trans person is absolutely the questioning of gender, of the assigned gender that we are given at birth, you know, and I think that leads on perfectly to the next point, saying that being a transgender person is the questioning of the idea that sex, for this, you know, sake of clarity in this episode, sex will refer to the biological term, you know, whether or not, you know, if a trans man is biologically a woman, their sex in medical form will be female, just biologically in terms of medicine, and that a lot of the time is going to influence how they are, you know, what is given to them as a doctor by doctors. You know, they don't want to overdose on testosterone or something. And obviously I think that's an important part in hormone therapy, for example. You wouldn't, you know, it's important not to deny the sex that you are, but I think gender is completely unintertwined with sex, and I think that's something that should absolutely be celebrated. And I think that the trans community have done really well in pushing forward that idea. I think that's something that needed to happen a long time ago, and I'm glad that it's finally kind of coming to the surface that sex is not what biologically kind of determines how we're going to act, is what I want to say. And also something that people kind of say to TERFs, which I think is a pretty good argument, but can be discounted, is it's someone else's identity. You know, why are you so pressed about someone else's identity? You know, if they want you to use these pronouns, is it not just common courtesy to do that? And we will talk about Jermaine Greer later, but she says in this interview, she's an Australian feminist writer from Second Wave, I believe, the kind of Gloria Steinem time, 60s, 70s, maybe verging on 80s, but that's kind of more Third Wave. That out of common courtesy, out of just politeness, you would use, even as TERF, the correct pronouns, unless you're just an asshole, I think, really. Just out of politeness, whether or not that's a political thing or not, you know, just use them, I suppose. So why does it press you? Why is that such a big deal for you to think about? Why does someone else's gender, how they identify, keep you up at night? I think that's kind of a flawed argument in the sense people will be like, I think it's just kind of throwing it to one side. I think if you're going to do something, if you're going to talk about something and have someone address you as a certain pronoun, I think it's important really to get to the root of why that it is you want to be addressed in that way. And really, for full understanding, I think it would be ignorant to say, no, I just call them that for the sake of it. I don't think it should ever be like that. I think it should be, if you're going to be nice about it, if you're going to be polite, if you're going to do the respectful thing, that is a root cause for calling someone by the pronouns they want to be called. And I think that is quite a good summary in a brief 3 minutes of what achievements I think should absolutely be valued all throughout this podcast episode. And it should not at all infringe on anyone's identity. I think it's a brilliant thing that they've done. Of course, there will be naysayers, and I say that with a pinch of salt because I don't want that to sound like I'm shitting on anyone's views or taking any side in this. I really want to take kind of a backward stance in this because I think it's important that I'm not mixed up in, you know, I want to referee it, guys. I want to be the arbiter here. But obviously, you know, I'm not going to be able to do that entirely. Of course, I will have to share my view at some point because I am a narcissistic bastard. But I think the thing that second-wave feminists like Jermaine Greer, like Gloria Steinem, like Betty Friedan, who was actually also a homophobe, so we kind of ignore that bit, would have said is that this primary argument against transism, what do I want to say, transgenderism or transsexualism, as two almost interchangeable terms, is an infringement on the female identity. And this is something I've kind of battled with for quite a long time because it seems so pernickety, it seems so petty to say, you know, that a trans person, so a trans woman, I think particularly is the issue or the group of people that feminists tend to take issue with in the trans community. So male to female transgender people seem to be picked on quite a lot more by radical feminists anyway. And the idea that it's an infringement on female identity, I think, is kind of the weakest argument in that of the TERFs, because surely that is kind of counterintuitive in saying, I suppose it depends on what you value above all. If I'm saying that I value genderless society, a society that does not say the way you are born is the way you will act, you are biologically destined, surely this statement saying being a trans person being a trans woman actually is an infringement on female identity and everything that being a woman actually is. I think it's very easy to say, oh no, that's just a man pretending to be a woman, and to kind of mix up drag and being trans. I think it's a very complicated issue. Gender and the way we present ourselves has so many interesting paths and factors to it. So surely that is to say that women are therefore biologically destined, and to say that men are not. So if feminists, radical feminists and TERFs particularly, I don't want radical feminism to get a bad name. I'm of course a radical feminist. Anyone that's interested in feminists is a radical bloody feminist. Surely they don't seem to be taking issue with trans men, so female to male transition, because it seems that it doesn't quite concern them. So it seems that overall feminists don't have an issue with, or TERFs, I should say, I need to stop using the term feminist and TERF interchangeably, just different sectors of feminism, I suppose. TERFs tend to take an issue more so with that which concerns them, which is the transitioning of men biologically to a female presentation of gender. And surely that is to say that women are therefore biologically destined and bound to their gender. By that I mean having a vagina, being born a woman, being born female, let's say. Woman and female, of course, not really entirely adequate terms. Woman, I would say, is more gender. Female is the biological term that could describe a trans man, for example. They would be biologically female. And the thing I think that makes people angry when you say that, when you say, okay, a trans woman is biologically male and a trans female is biologically, and a trans man is biologically female, is that mixing up of values. I do not at all value the biological gender. Fuck me, the biological sex. Of course I've mixed that up. I don't at all value the genitals of someone as predicting how they will act in future life. So obviously, if TERFs are taking issue with any trans women, men that biologically have become women or are presenting themselves as the gender woman, that seems to say that women should be biologically bound, whereas men are not so biologically bound. It has its problems. I think that argument is certainly the weakest and the one that I really cannot get behind entirely. Sorry, that's probably a bit loud. I think I just yelled into the microphone. I didn't mean to. But the second argument, I think that TERFs don't necessarily take into account is that it's very easy to see a man wanting to be a woman. I think this doesn't, I don't want to call it misandry, but I do think it comes from the distrust of men. And I think that's very well deserved, really, of men over the whole history. You know, men and women haven't notoriously had the best relationships in terms of politics. So I think it's a fair distrust of men, but I think it's very easy to say a trans woman is a man wanting to be oppressed in the same way a woman is oppressed. And again, I think that comes back to, is the whole female identity, is everything that makes up a woman, like myself, a cis woman, born a woman, identifies pretty much with female stuff, although that's kind of, I guess that's a bad example because I'm sort of considered non-binary in that sense. Is everything that makes a woman just how she's been oppressed? Surely that's kind of sad, you know? Is that not to say that marginalized groups, marginalized by race, for example, are that group just because they've been marginalized? No, I mean, for example, Aboriginal people take absolute pride. I think the real foundation of their culture comes from those traditions, those rituals, the dress wear. And I think that should, you know, I think that's a very difficult thing to say should happen for gender. You know, should we as women, biologically, I want to say females, take pride in our traditions? But I think that's difficult because our traditions have been so heavily tainted with that of oppression, with that of the need to reclaim certain things. To be a woman is to be seen as weak. And I think this really comes back to misogyny. It all comes back to misogyny when you're me, I suppose. So the next argument I think that's sort of compelling, but also sounds a little bit offensive, is the idea of drag. So of course, RuPaul's Drag Race, I'm pretty sure all of you will have heard, if not avidly watched it. I think it's great. I think it's really funny. But I do take issue with that as a political thing. I think, for example, this is the argument that I can get behind in terms of TERFs, but even that, drag isn't being a trans person. We know that some, I think it was, oh gosh, I can't remember their name. There was a drag queen on RuPaul's Drag Race who actually came out as a trans woman. I think it was Gia Gunn. I might be completely wrong, but anyway, correct me. I think that the idea that when they put their makeup on, when these men who identify as men, you know, when they put their makeup on, when they put their drag on, when they become this drag queen, they are suddenly representing a female identity and they change their pronouns to she. And that's something that I find a little bit iffy, but the reason I found this is why this makes me feel a bit iffy is because we're suggesting that we correlate she, pronouns, he, she, we correlate that with sex, right? Because we're saying that sex in olden times or traditional times is interchangeable for gender. Sex and gender were interchangeable. They are no longer so. But the reason I find that difficult is because I do value pronouns as perhaps a telltale biological thing. Maybe that is something that is biologically determined, but should we change that? Should we see pronouns as entirely gender-based as opposed to biologically determined? So drag, when these men who do identify as men put on their drag, they are referred to as she and queen. And it's almost like this, it feels offensive. It feels wrong. I mean, in the same way that blackface is wrong, in the same way that dressing up as someone as an other, a different race from yourself is wrong, although I'm sure there's a difference between the two. It just seems like an interesting comparison to say drag and blackface. Like, obviously, I'm not trying to take any oppression away from any marginalised group and pile it onto the misogyny part. But I think it's an interesting comparison to make, and I think it feels a little bit offensive, because to say, oh, you're a she, you are now, you know, you now pass as a woman, I want to say, when you've got fake tits on, when you've got a certain figure, when you're wearing makeup, this is what makes up female identity. And I think that's something that has to be changed. Either we have to change the way we value pronouns. I don't think pronouns should be so heavily, I think pronouns should be completely obliterated as a whole anyway. I think they should not be a tool reflective of personality, of gender. I think we should just have they or something in a substitution. That would be my utopia anyway. Because it's interesting that the first thing, I think this is something that's kind of a little off track, but it's interesting that the first thing we identify someone with is their gender. And there is no reason to do that other than, you know, we would not do that if we didn't value gender as a core part of personality. In the same way we identify someone as by the colour of their hair, if we identify someone as their gender, that's something that we see immediately. And that is something we define as a principal part of their personality. Not saying hair colour is principal to personality, that's sort of a bad example. But we think of it as something absolutely foundational to someone's being. And I think if we got rid of these pronouns that told everyone, oh, that makes you a woman, right? She makes you a woman, he makes you a man, etc., etc., whether that's gender or sex, depending on if you're cis or trans, that I think should be abolished. I think this is kind of the core part of my argument. Obviously, that isn't to say that drag and being a trans person is the same thing. Of course, it's not. One is essentially for entertainment and one is a serious integral part of someone's identity. But I think I do take issue with drag in the sense I think it's a little bit humiliating almost. It kind of sidelines women. It's like this group of men dressing up as what they perceive to be women. It just feels like it could very easily be misogynistic. Whether it is or not would need further, you know, I'd like to do an episode on is drag actually offensive. It sounds really panicky, but I think these are things that are important to me. The third argument I'd like to look at is this Germaine Greer ideology, the second wave feminism. And I could probably link the interview that I'm looking at. If not, it's just called Germaine Greer Transgender BBC Newsnight interview, where essentially she talks about why she doesn't necessarily think that Caitlyn Jenner should be awarded Woman of the Year, for example. She says, Germaine Greer says, misogyny is key to transgenderism, and on the note of Caitlyn Jenner being given Woman of the Year, a man that goes to these lengths cannot be a better woman than a woman who is born a woman. I think that's interesting. I think that was the bit to me that was like, okay, Germaine, you know, back to the residential home we go. It feels like when your nan's like racist at Christmas dinner or something. But I think there is some logic behind it, in the sense that if you understand that she values, as a second wave feminism, the differences between man and woman, biologically man and woman, female and male, I want to say, second wave feminism seems to completely value the differences between man and woman, but they say that they're still equal. And this seems to be a generational thing. I know a lot of people's parents, I know that my parents, my grandparents, certainly aunts, uncles, tend to feel this way as well. They tend to value the differences between man and woman, even if they are feminist, even if they say, no, these things are, you know, they're equal and no treatment should be given differently, even though a woman is more likely to be nurturing and blah, 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 even though a man is more likely to bugger off and do certain things. It just feels like the TERF argument kind of goes against itself in saying, yes, I value, you know, the only reason a man cannot be a woman and be a trans woman is because, you know, you can never have the same integral, intrinsic parts as a woman. But I think that is, again, to say that to be biologically destined is what a woman is, that she will be forever attached to her vagina's, you know, destiny, essentially, to be a mother, to be penetrated, basically, to be, I don't know, an object for sex. And I think that is a very misogynistic attitude to have, and I think it kind of hurts itself. I think feminism hurts itself in that confusion. And it's something I think, unfortunately, has to be faced by feminists like Germaine Greer. Although I do see the logic in her argument a lot of the time, I think it's just something that generationally cannot be understood because it's not something that's integrally a part of their culture.
So I think one could probably be described as a TERF, despite being a generally very open-minded person. And I think it is more of a generational thing. But it's because her opinion is that transgender people shouldn't feel the need to change their gender, because if our views around gender weren't so strict and stereotypical, they wouldn't ever feel like they were confined into one box as a man or as a woman, and they needed to change their gender from a man to a woman, for example, because gender shouldn't be that clean cut. And I think my differing opinion to her is that society is gender stereotypical and gender normative, and the closest step we can get to changing those boundaries between men and women and making them more blurred is if people are more willing to accept changes in their gender and more transgender people exist, basically. And I think that's where we disagree and where the generational divide happens.
So I think what she's trying to, what I would like to reiterate in from what she said, is that in a genderless utopia, we would not have the need to be transgender because there would be no gender binary already in place. There would be no, I feel like I need to do these things, therefore I must be this sex, I must be male because I like these things and I don't really like these people. But I think that in a genderless utopia, this would not happen. If you've just noticed a shift in quality of audio, it's because I was recording on a microphone that wasn't turned on. No, it wasn't turned on for 10 minutes of the podcast. So that's why it sounds a little bit like dog shit now, because I'm back on my phone. But anyway, I want to reiterate, this is not an incitement for hatred. It's not an infringement on anyone's identity that I intend for it to be. Of course, interpret it as you will. I hope you've made up your minds on how you stand on this by now. But yeah, I think I was quite scared to talk about this and to kind of put out that view that maybe we have progressed past the need for these gender binaries at all, that perhaps there would be no need to be transgender in a society where we didn't associate the things we did with our gender and sexual identity. But I think I spoke to my sister, I was like, I want to do an episode about this, I want to talk about, you know, have we progressed as a society past that need for binary? And she was kind of like, I think you're going to get branded as a transphobe. And I've already been branded, as I say, as a old person hater. I'm happy to have that title. That's okay by me. But I don't want anyone mistaking this for any kind of excuse to be nasty, to not use the correct pronouns, to be an asshole, because I think we have to completely take into account the fact that remains is that the transgender community has progressed nearly everything. I mean, with the death of gender will be the death of misogyny, and that's really what I'm waiting for. That's where the little chip on my shoulder comes from with the transgender ideology, is that it doesn't entirely take into account itself binary isms. It doesn't take into account the fact that if I'm saying I was born a woman, therefore I like these things, but actually that's not really so associated with this gender, it would be harder and more progressive to say, yes, I am a woman biologically, but what does that have to do with what I want to be? I take issue with saying I was born in the wrong body, because that is to say the body defines the personality, and I think that is societally, you know, bootlicking in a sense. So I'd just like to let you think about that, really. That's the whole reason that I made this episode, is because I was so torn on it. I was like, I must be a TERF then. I must be like a trans exclusionary rad femme. I must be a mega transphobe. It turns out I'm not. I just take issue with not doing the most progressive thing we can and calling it the most progressive thing that there is. I think, in fact, it's not. I think that it used to be at one point when gender was completely tied up with sex, when we would not question that we were born one way and there was no way out of that set of ideals. But we've now entered into a new set of ideals that restrict us just as much as the first ones. You know, I think that if we completely escape from gender, we would be escaping from misogyny, as well, because we wouldn't be valuing gender so highly. And I wonder if this bit got deleted, but I'll say it again. There is a part of literary theory by Terry Eagleton that says, that questions whether or not language influences the way we think, or if the way we think influences language and our reality, our actuality and our society. And I think it's fair to say that it goes both ways. And this is what myself and my friend who sent that audio were discussing a while ago, whether or not if we abolished pronouns that link to our gender, would we then as pretty much be degrading gender in a good way? I mean degrading, I mean abolishing gender. And I think yes, to an extent, but I also think that we have to go in, it's easier to nip it in the bud, go from the root and say, okay, gender doesn't exist anymore, which of course is a gradual process that actually the trans community have, you know, pushed to an extent that needs now further pushing by the complete abandonment of gender and gender roles, is, I suppose, the most important thing about that. So thank you again for your tolerance, for your understanding. God, this is what happens when you spend like 3 hours recording an episode only for 10 minutes of it to not record. Really pissed me off that. But thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this. The reason I wanted to do this was because I was torn. I felt really kind of intolerant in myself. I was like, why does it bother me so much? And I've figured out now, it is because we seem to be just reinforcing gender binaries by saying I am a trans man, I am a trans woman, etc, etc. I invite you all of you, come out as gender non-binary like I have. Come on, do it, pussy, do it, be fun, be great, we'll all just be genderless bastards. I think it's actually what's that show TV TV film, the film with Simon Pegg in it, I think it's End of the World, Pub at the End of the World or something. Good bloody film either way. And he's like, yeah, in the future there'll be no guys or girls, just twats. And I think that's powerful. I think that's how I want to live. Simon Pegg is my non-binary king. But again, thank you for listening. I hope you have a fabulous week. Please send me voice memos. I will try and figure out how to do that and share it on my Instagram or my Snapchat, etc. I'd like to hear your view on this. I'd like to hear you hating on me. I'd like to hear you calling me a transphobe and a turf. It's my kink, so please do that. Have a wonderful week. Look after yourselves. Bye, stinkies.